Well, good morning. In your copy of the Word of God, would you go to the 50th Psalm, please? The 50th Psalm. This is a prophetic psalm, and the thrust of it is that there's trouble coming to the nation of Israel. And in the middle of it, where we will look in verse 14 and 15, as has already been read, we find some instruction in the days of trouble. In the second half of the psalm, there's some actions that God says he's going to take. But sandwiched in between the trouble that's coming, some remarks by God about himself, reminding the nation of Israel that he is truly God. He doesn't need Israel, but they need him. Sandwiched in between those two sections are these two verses of instruction. And certainly we live in troubled times, do we not? Now, I'm looking at a room full of young people, and that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And you can look back in your relatively short experience and say, I've never experienced anything quite like this. We could find the oldest person in the room. I won't. We could find the oldest person in the room, and their testimony would also have to be, we've never experienced anything like this. It has permeated every aspect of our culture. It touches our lives every day. And there are other troubles going on under this cloud of COVID. We have political unrest in America that my grandparents would find unbelievable. Open demonstrations against the police in the street in America. Calls for violence against folks just because of some perceived slight based on racial discrimination. Certainly there are problems that need addressed, but violence is never the appropriate answer. And so there are so many things around us that trouble us. I don't know if you were allowed or could or had access or whatever to the debate last night, but I had to turn it off. And I'm a very politically interested person, but I had to turn it off because the level of discourse was like, 2 10-year-olds in a sandbox throwing dirt at each other. And I hate to say that. I'm embarrassed by it. There's trouble all around us. And if we look only at the trouble, it will discourage you and it will bring you to a creepy crawler and maybe even a halt in your spiritual walk with the Lord, in your advancement with Him, in your growing in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, because discouragement left unattended leads to defeat, distraction, and ultimately destruction. But we have some instructions that will help us in the days of trouble. What to do when trouble surrounds you? Notice the offering that we have of the Lord's wisdom. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We'll see five things here quickly in our passage today of instruction of what to do when trouble is surrounding you. Number one, remain thankful. Remain thankful. Offer unto God thanksgiving. You know the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that's an easy verse to say. It can be an encouraging verse to quote, but let me tell you, that's a difficult verse to live. That's a difficult verse to live. In everything give thanks. The most memorable sermon I ever heard my dad preach was about it. Year and a half after my brother went home to heaven. My brother was killed in a terrible, tragic accident. Went to heaven way too young, about 19 years ago. It was a tragedy that struck our family, as you can imagine. And I heard my dad preach year and a half later through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and he came to, in everything, give thanks. And he had to acknowledge that the Lord had to teach him how to be thankful for the death of his son. The Lord had to teach me how to be thankful for the death of my brother. But I can say God is faithful. And He is worthy to be thanked. His graciousness is always, it's appropriate always to acknowledge His graciousness, His goodness to us. Anytime we come to Him and He's always present, it's appropriate to thank Him. Enter into His gates, Psalm 100 verse 4, with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 105 verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known the deed, His deeds among the people. We should be thankful for the blessings of life, yes. There are obvious blessings. Look around you. Guys, you got a nice comfortable place to come to chapel. You probably have already had some food today. I have, hallelujah. You've breathed some oxygen today. Be thankful for the blessings of life. Some of them are hidden. Some of them are hidden. And we have to think to understand the importance of being thankful about the hidden blessings. Think about the housewife, the lady, the mom of the home who comes into the kitchen and has a sink full of dirty dishes. There's a hidden blessing there. Because half of the world goes to bed hungry. And there are no dirty dishes because there was no food consumed that evening. A sink full of dirty dishes, a hidden blessing to be thankful. And we certainly can be thankful, learn to be thankful for the burdens of life. Being thankful for the burdens of life comes from having a proper perspective. Understanding that the world is not what we see, the world is what God sees. And we are just to submit ourselves to His view of life and of our existence. In at least three distinct times, the Apostle Paul helps us understand this matter of being thankful for the burdens. In Romans 8:18, he says, "For I reckon," good old West Virginia boy right there, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Don't look at life through your own eyes and through the eyes of the world. Look at life through God's eyes. And even the burdens then become things for which we can be thankful. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities." I take pleasure in being sick, he says. Everyone's concerned and to some degree kind of consumed with the fact, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get the virus. And it's a serious thing. Has it been overblown, my opinion? Yes. Is it a serious thing? Yes. I was with a preacher friend yesterday who 2 weeks ago buried a mother and daughter in his church. Otherwise healthy ladies, they both contracted COVID. He had their funeral together. It's a very serious thing. Paul said, I've learned to be thankful for the sicknesses. And we know that he had some physical infirmities. He says, in infirmities I take pleasure, in reproaches, people slandering him, saying untrue things about him, in necessities, this feeling like you don't have everything that you need, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When life knocks us down and we have to look up, that may be the very moment when God's glory and God's power shines in us the most brightly and flows through us the most impactfully, because we've set everything else out of the way. Philippians 1:12, "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Nobody wants to be in jail, but Paul could be thankful for being in jail because he won people to Christ. We know of what the experience there in Acts 16 where the Philippian jailer bursts in, "What must I do to be saved?" Let me tell you, let me just ask you, friend, would you experience the coronavirus if it meant you got to lead somebody to Christ because of it? Dr. Anderson, you knew my mother, who's with the Lord now, been in heaven about 2.5 years. The last few months of her life, she was in and out of the hospital as her health declined, and in and out of the nursing care facility for some rehab and all that. And I watched my mother become a soul-winning machine in the hospital and in the nursing home. I'd go to see her, and as you're in a hospital, you know, they never leave you alone. People are always coming in and out. And so a nurse or a technician would walk in, and mom would say, "Oh, honey," talk to me. "Say, Gavin, I want you to meet Michelle. Michelle lives down in Allen Creek. And she trusted the Lord as her Savior last night." Or she'd tell me about where she learned that maybe Michelle was already a Christian. Whatever the life story was, she could tell me the life story of these people that are attending to her, because she was talking to everybody that was coming to see her about Jesus. You see, you can be thankful even for infirmities, distresses, and burdens. Be thankful in times of trouble. Remain thankful. Number two, remain faithful. Pay thy vows unto the Lord, unto the Most High, excuse me. Troubled times should not hinder the impact of the church. Rather, it should advance the impact of the church, because there is such a stark contrast. The world is living in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. There's a contrast in the way believers can approach the days of trouble than how the world approaches days of trouble. The world says doom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And the Christian says, I have found a hiding place when sore distressed. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, fair and pure. So we can remain faithful. Pay thy vows. Do what you have committed unto the Lord. You're in this place because you have made some commitments to God. And I want to say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for you and the commitments that you have made to God. When trouble comes, don't let your commitments fade, but rather drive them down all the deeper. Hold fast to them all the more. A crisis in the culture is the opportunity for Christians to shine the light of Christ, as Jesus instructed us in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We must stay faithful in the times of trouble to do what we know to do. Do what we know is right. Do what we know the Lord expects. I met with a group of pastors yesterday. We were just encouraging one another and sharing ideas. And so many of us have some of the same similar problems and challenges in these days of COVID. That we have church people who are living in such fear. They're otherwise healthy. They know that we're distancing. They know that we're wearing masks. And they still won't come to the house of God. The devil's pulled a dirty trick on them and they've fallen for it. You've sent dozens, perhaps hundreds, of graduates from this institution into very dangerous places. And we applaud them and we honor them. We reference them as the graduate of the day or whatever it may be. Places where there is illness, places where there is danger, places where there is physical opposition to the gospel. We've challenged our young people to do that for three generations. And now we've got a generation that is content to sit at home when God's people are meeting in His house. Stay faithful. God is always looking for faithfulness. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's the first thing God's looking for out of His children. Faithfulness. He's looking for it. He honors it. Hebrews chapter 11 is an essay of God honoring faithfulness in the lives of His servants. And God rewards it. Behold, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. In times of trouble, remain faithful. In times of trouble, remain prayerful. Look, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. If there's ever a time we needed some fervency and some urgency in our prayer life, it is today in our country. I hope that you are mature enough and aware enough of what's happening around you that you understand our nation is on the brink of disaster unless we have a revival. America needs revival. And revival is not coming from Washington. Revival is not coming from the Capitol in Charleston. Revival is coming from God's people. It's coming from some folks who will just say, Lord, take me, use me. You've got all of me, regardless of the consequences. And I'm going to stay on my knees and pray and beg God, beg you, Lord, give us revival and let it start with me. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. The house, the gathering place for the family group. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. It's what He's built us to do. We must be that family group that prays and prays together. Colossians 4, 2 and 3, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. James 5, 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Acts 12, 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. Prayer helps us to see things as God sees them. And He sees our potential in His grace and power. And when we call upon Him, He says, I'm going to answer and show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. And if you've walked with the Lord a while, then you can testify with me to say, God has certainly shown me some things far beyond what I ever asked for. But God does want me to ask. Ask and you shall receive, we're instructed. We are people generally in the church in America, we are a people of weak faith and small vision because we are a people of little prayer. Inconsequential prayer. We will never attempt great things for God until we see a great God and beg Him to do His will in our lives. In times of trouble, remain prayerful. And then He says, I will deliver thee. What does that mean for us? God says what He will do. Well, what we need to do in response to what He says is we need to remain trusting, trustful. Just continue to trust Him. He says, I will deliver thee. Where is God? Everywhere. What can He do? Anything. What does He know? Everything. In light of that, is there any reason that we should not trust Him? Is there any circumstance that we can cite around us or that we can even envision and make up in a hypothetical? Is there any circumstance that would lead us to the conclusion, well, I don't really need to trust God about that? Of course not. No, and you know the verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. The psalmist says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. My wife and I are blessed with two boys, grown now. Each of them have four kids, so we have eight grandchildren, and we're excited about that. But when my older boy, Tommy, who is 38, I suppose now, 38, 39, when he was a little kid, maybe 2.5, 3 years old, we were living in a duplex, a two-story thing, and the bedrooms were upstairs. You walked in the living room, the kitchen, the dining room, and then go up the stairs, which were kind of exposed to the living area, and bedrooms upstairs. And the stairs, you know, came down and turned out into the room. So there was a little landing there, and then two more steps down. Well, Tommy and I got to where we'd play a little game. And I would position myself on that landing, and Tommy would jump from the top step. I mean, he'd just take a flying leap and just dive right into me. I've got a friend, a preacher friend. His name is David. And David's a big fella. He's 6'3", always been very muscular. He was a state wrestling champion and all that back in the day. And David was over at the house one time, and I said, let me show you something about Tommy. And I had David get on the landing. And Tommy get up on the top step. Now again, David's obviously bigger and he's obviously stronger than me. And boy, Tommy wouldn't jump. He wouldn't jump. I said, Tommy, it'll be all right. David will catch you. He'll catch you. David will catch you. Oh, he couldn't make himself do it. I said, let me try it. Dave and I traded places. Off he came. Superman. Woo. He trusted me. He was willing just to fling his whole self at me with nothing in reserve, not holding on to anything. I mean, just with reckless abandon, flung himself because he trusted me completely. God is looking for you to fling yourself with reckless abandon into his arms, into his will, into the path of righteousness that he is leading you for his name's sake. And it doesn't change because there's a virus. It doesn't change because there are people who think we're cuckoo, think we're nuts. Just keep trusting. Just keep doing what God is expecting us to do. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Lastly, we see in that final phrase, remain praiseful. Thou shalt glorify me. Just keep praising. I don't know if you know the name Al Smith, the great music publisher and songwriter from a couple of generations ago, but he wrote a little chorus. It's amazing what praising can do. Praising. Just keep praising the Lord. Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. That's the key. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. Let me teach you a little something right here, especially some of you preacher boys. Don't get caught up in the charismatic trap. Our charismatic friends, if you'll listen to some of their music, what they're praising is they're praising the fact that they're praising. They're praising praise. Don't get caught in the trap of praising praise. We praise Him. We praise God who is worthy. 2 Samuel 22:4, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. In the time of trouble, remain praiseful. Let me tell you something about that. It's contagious. You be a person who praises the Lord even in difficulty, and you'll lift the spirits. You'll lift the brow of folks around you. Despite all the trouble, despite all the confusion, despite all the negativity around us, let us take this instruction from the Word of God to remain thankful and faithful. Remain praying, prayerful, remain trusting, and remain praising. It's not at all contingent upon our earthly circumstances. It's not about what is around us. It is about who is above us. May we pray. Father, help us to be infused with understanding of your wisdom as we glean it from your word. Lord, there is no human understanding that even compares. So help us to treasure the wisdom of the Word of God, and may it continue to impact our lives even this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.